Well, good morning.
You know what's already.
Great morning and welcome to Declare Victory. Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen, it's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
And right before the host jumps in, y'all pay attention to the energy on the line this morning. Y'all feel that? Anybody
sure
other
do.
Than me?
Yes,
super duper charged. Somebody else had a request right when I turned on the recording. Go ahead with it.
The same thing, Dion. The lady that owns our property, she's selling it, and we applied for a home on Sunday. So again, y'all know what to do.
Yes, indeed.
Who was that? Who was that?
That was me, Mary.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. This is Rosanna. I am your hostess for today. Welcome to Declare Victory. And beside Hazel, are there any other new callers today? Okay, well, once again, want to say good morning to Hazel and welcome to Declare Victory. You will be blessed. Just keep coming. And I hope everyone had a safe Labor Day weekend yesterday. Today is Tell It Tuesday. Can somebody please put their call on mute? Somebody please put your phone on mute. Today is Tell It Tuesday. Share Christ with someone. Tell them how good God is. Remember, we are in his hands and feet, and we want him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Tonight also is TNT Bible study from 6 to 7. Study the Word with Pastor Lavelle Jones. Lastly, thank you to those who already have signed up for the production team. There's still space for you if you're interested in joining the team by helping us fundraise with our fundraising efforts. Please contact Erica via inbox or respond to the post in the room on Facebook. I was going to try to remember the prayer request on the phone, but Susie, if you could share that information, I would appreciate it.
I'll go ahead and say it. Did I just call brain freeze? I know myself and me, Mary, are asking God for provision for our move, and we're thanking God in advance, and you guys are going to join us in celebrating in advance that all go well with our applications. Also, for the Anderson family, there was a son that was lost, as well as Monica and Deborah Evans. Prayer, just very general, and Gail requested prayer for her condo scenario with the litigation with the insurance company. I believe that's what it's for. Amen.
And Ms. D.
Okay, go ahead.
Tyree, something similar is having a procedure today. Hopefully got everyone. And
Taiwan, say his name out loud. Taiwan is the one who Ms. D gave her kidney to, and he's having a medical procedure.
And that was the last one that I have, so was okay. You, Dan, and then Ms. D.
Okay. And then we have a request from Eugenia Walker requesting for Stephen Buckner. He is having a medical procedure today. Please pray for success, minimum pain, and complete healing. Thank you. And Tracy Gardner is asking for prayer for herself. Keep her lifted up in prayer as she goes through this major transition. And the order of the call is going to be Scriptures, Tanya Porter, Declaration, Rivonda. Prayer is by Andrew, followed by Imani, Beverly, and Miss D is the closer. Once again, Scripture is by Tanya Porter, Declaration, Rivonda. Prayer is by Andrew, followed by Imani, Beverly, and Miss D. Excuse me. If you have not done so, would you please take the time to mute your line by pressing *6 or the mute feature on your phone? We like to have a distraction-free recording for anyone who wants to go back and listen to the recording again or who missed it today, and we want to give the courtesy to the speaker so they won't have to interrupt to ask you to please put your phones on mute. So at this time, I will turn the call over to Tanya. Everyone have a blessed one.
Good morning. Today's word will be coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and it reads, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." As I pass the call.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Tanya, for that scripture this morning, and Rosanna and Susie for just so eloquently greeting us this morning. It's always a pleasure to get on the victory line in the morning. It's just a part of our lives. I'm sitting out in the car. It's an absolutely beautiful morning. It's a little chilly, so you guys make sure you wrap up good. It's funny. I had a wonderful time on yesterday. Most of my family was in the house. I had my white chocolate. Everyone who knows who I call white chocolate, I affectionately call her Bean, but I call her white chocolate from time to time. It's my daughter, Destiny. She came in and she called herself, wanted to come home and make sure that she cooked, and I didn't have to do nothing, but of course, you know me. So we had ribs yesterday and baked beans and potato salad and some rolls, and that was her menu. It changed from hamburgers, which I wanted, but I was so glad to have it there. She could have asked me for anything yesterday and would have got it. And normally when Destiny comes home, and for all of you who are on the line, Destiny, her line of work is prostitution. So when she comes home, it's her time away from just a crazy life. And normally she has her phone, and she's always on it, and she wasn't yesterday. And so I see answered prayer. And I thank God that when she comes to the house that she can close the door, she can lock out a whole bunch of foolishness, and she's not treated like her profession. I love her dearly. I've raised her since the Lord gave her to me when she was 6 years old, and it's just a blessing to have her in the house. And everyone was home, basically, except for Matthew, who's in Atlanta. But I had an absolutely wonderful day, and I know you all did, too. I could hear it in you guys' voice that you got a chance to get some rest and probably spend some time with family or just have a jump off the roof time. And some of you all might have just jumped off the curb. Okay, let me get into my declaration. But thank you all this morning for just giving me this moment. You know, I've reached this one conclusion. If no one is discussing you, you're probably not doing anything. When you decide to do ministry or to do anything that is in the will of God, when you decide to really line up your life with the will of God, you're going to need to have some tough skin. You absolutely can't take everything personal. And some of us may have had the reputation of where we would take things personally. Anything anyone said to us, any kind of correction, you know, or whatever, we wore it maybe too closely to our skin. But you absolutely can't take everything personal. All of us are deeply flawed in our own special way. Yes, I did say flawed in your own special way. And if you think about jewelry, diamonds, every diamond has a flaw. And the flaws in the diamonds basically are the signature, the DNA. It's the way to identify it. Some of us are dealing with abandonment issues. That might be your flaw. It may be substance abuse, problems relating to other people. It may be emotional abuse. Image problems, perfectionism problems, marriage issues, single issues, and the list goes on. For me, it's been about acceptance. My pastor preached about this on Sunday, and it totally tripped me out because it got my goat. I had to sit there and listen and try not to be so emotional, but to really take in what he was saying. And he talked about us being flawed. Some of us, I've had problems feeling good enough. Problems with what I, what I do counts, or are you appreciated? Yeah, some of us may have problems with feeling like we're appreciated, or what we do, does it really count? The good thing is I'm willing to admit it because I found the root was in my childhood. Most of you all don't know that I played a classical instrument, the viola, the alto voice in the orchestra. I don't play it anymore. Probably could pick it up and, you know, start playing it now. I really loved it. But obviously, I never mastered it. No one showed up for any of the recitals because I guess it wasn't really important to my grandparents. I played basketball, and my position was forward and center. And I think maybe it was because my grandparents were older, you know, that they didn't really have any interest in basically what I was doing. My senior year of the championship, and our team went to the championship, our last game we lost, and guess what game they came to? That one. They came to the game that we lost. But I didn't hold that against them. I was a B average student and never missed school unless I intentionally cut. I really can't say that the push I needed was ever present. The push that I needed in life as a child, it was just never present. Guess what? I became what I hated. And today I work hard at giving what I didn't receive. I'm pretty naturally reclusive, introverted, and for years I thought that there was something wrong with me being introverted. My personality, pretty much outgoing. I had outgoing proclivity. That's what I have. I'm introverted with outgoing proclivity. I have no problem with just alone time, being alone, coming home and closing the door and loving it. Or it's times when you may hear me talking on the phone, and I'm in the salon by myself, and the TV's not on. It's just quiet. Some people would look at it as looking at me being alone or introverted as being an ill. It's not really, but actually, I found it to be a strength. I'm slow to make decisions. Most of my decisions have to be calculated. I'm not easily moved by emotion because of having to always be aware of danger as a child. My intelligence, I have a heightened awareness of who people may be, and I'm slow to make friends because I'm not in need of lots of outward stimulation to succeed. Most of my success the Lord has really walked me through some things alone. I realize this. Not that I didn't need people. I'm not saying that. But I don't always have to reach outside of who I am to recognize where God wants me to go or what he wants me to do. I'm not bragging, but I know my strength. And I'm just learning to embrace my peculiar, my different. How many of you have had the struggle with your different, the thing that sets you apart from your friend, your loved one? You're just wired different. And perhaps you're struggling because someone may have told you that who you are isn't acceptable, isn't enough, you're not enough, or you just don't measure up. Look, listen. Every one of my children are gifted in a funny sort of way. God has this weird way of teaching me lessons. Matthew, who is my oldest son, is the animal whisperer. You name it, every creepy, crawly thing, he loved it. Destiny, my white chocolate, the one I call Bean, computer whiz. She will hack your computer in a minute. Street smart. And we'll see some business stuff straight through until she gets exactly what she wants. I call her Bean for a whole lot of reasons. Now, then there's Black. That's Isaiah. Never took any music lessons, plays the keys, the drums, and knows everything about a studio. But let me tell you something about him that's absolutely funny, you guys. He graduated with a 2.2 GPA. Now, this is going to make you holler. And scored a 1600 on his SAT with a perfect math score. Now, Hadassah's resume is still in progress, but I'm doing something different now. I didn't raise my kids like someone else did. I made more mistakes with her because I know she needs a push, but she's different. And since her father's not here, I got a whole lot of work I got to do. And I have to stay present. Some of the stuff I missed or failed at with her hurts really bad because I wanted to get it right. But you know what? In this hour, God has had me to do it differently because I'm doing it apart from her father. He was there with everybody else. I have to depend heavily on God, but I had to do something. I had to make sure that I'm not just going after being a great mom because I want to be seen as being a great mom. That couldn't be my motive. But a still small voice whispered in this here old ear and told me that she's mine, that she belongs to God. The Lord let me know that Hadassah belongs to him. All my children belong to him. He said, they're all mine, and I know the plan that I have for them. And he said, stand down. Can I tell you, I've been sleeping better these days. Okay, here's the light bulb moment, a nugget. In moments when I feel as a parent that I'm not doing such a hot job, God reminds me of the brave step I took to become a parent. He reminded me that, Ravonda, you're not selfish. He allowed me to take care and provide for what was his. He trusted me with something that wasn't mine. He just used me to get them here. When people have talked about my parenting, and I'm sure they have, not just my parenting, my life period, because I have an eclectic life. I told the ladies on the other day, I have a really eclectic life. And you know what? I bless God for every moment. I wouldn't take anything back. He let me know that I'm not afraid of making mistakes. I'm a risk taker. I really realize that I'm an introvert. I can be reclusive, and I'm a risk taker. That's kind of oxymoronic to some people. But you know what? God has wired me differently, just like you. I'm deeply flawed, but those flaws are part of my identity. He promised to be with us in every attempt. Every time we seek to please God in whatever we do, he promised to be with us. To make and get this, you guys, to make sure there is glory for him, even in our failures. God, I bless him this morning. God, I bless him this morning because he finds glory even in my failures. My kids actually have been my greatest teachers. They've taught me how to love, because I'm not the most affectionate person. They showed me how to forgive and how to be merciful. All of that, my kids helped with. That and the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost being on board. I continue to take a step every day to do what I've never tried and to expose myself to love, to be vulnerable to new relationships and to be continually talked about and not tripped. See, some of y'all still tripping off folks talking about you and some of the stuff so-and-so saying. And what they've heard. But you know what? If folks ain't talking about you, you ain't doing nothing. Look back on all your accomplishments. If you don't have any children, look at your friends. You've taken a risk even making friends. Continue to do that. Continue to do something different every day and watch God make something beautiful out of your life. You guys know I love you. As I pass the call, try something different.
Our gracious and most loving Heavenly Father, giver of every good and perfect gift, as we bask in your holiness, Father, and we come boldly before your throne, bow down in our spirits in reverence and love, we thank you. We thank you for your extended touch to us, Father. We thank you for your peace, Father. And we thank you for your joy, which is abundant, and you gift it to your children. That deep settled peace that no matter what we see, what we go through, no matter what we feel, we know you love us, Father. We know you are there to protect us, and we know that you are there to be relied upon. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your hand upon us last night when we slept, Father, and we were closer to death than we realized. Your hand was upon us. Your hedge of protection was around us. You sent your angels, Father, to stand guard over us, that nothing would come close to us, Father, that did not get your approval, that nothing could harm us, Father, from the task that you appointed us this morning. Nothing would get in the way. We thank you, Father. We thank you for our daily bread. We thank you for the health and strength that you apportioned us today. We thank you, Father, for the people that you placed in our path that we may interact with, Father, and give a reason for the hope that lies within us. We thank you, Father, for those chances that we have today to witness of your glory, to speak of your gospel, Father, and to declare your love for a world who disregard you. We thank you, Father, for being that hedge of protection for us, Father, when our spirits are hurt, when we feel abandoned by our friends, Father, and abused by our enemies. Father, we thank you for being able to soothe us through your word, Father, when we can strengthen ourselves through Holy Scripture, which tells us, Father, of how those that were in our place before fared when you stepped in. As we wait on you, Father, teach us to wait more patiently, that we could stand like David until he heard the sound of a going in the mulberry trees, Father, that he could wait in the cave of Adullam, Father, for you to move on his behalf. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities that we have to teach others on how to wait on you, that it's not about us, Father, in our journey alone, but it's about us strengthening those others that are on the same journey, taking steps that aren't like ours, Father, but coming into the same space as we were in. Help us, Father, to mentor as we were mentored, Father. Help us to be patient with them as those above us were patient with us. Help us, Father, to understand that we are but men. Help us, Father, to respect each other, Father, as you love us. Help us to be forgiving, Father, as you forgive us. Help us to be understanding as you are understanding to us. We thank you, Father, for everything that you do to it. We thank you for everything that we have before us. Father, we know that all things work together for good to them that love you and who are the called according to your purpose. And we thank you, Father, that we can come before you when we fail and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. Father, because our sins are as filthy rags before you, we are not holy as you are holy, Father, but we are commanded to be so. So, Father, search us now. If there's anything that is not like you in us, Father, scrub it away. Purge us with hyssop, Father, and wash us clean that we can stand before you, Father, as righteous, as we can go before you and proclaim your word to a world that distrusts you, Father, denies your existence, and refuses to obey you. Help us, Father, to be that ambassador that may turn a person's head and heart back to you. Help us to be that ambassador, Father, who speaks of your word through our actions, that those may see our good works and glorify you instead of us. Help us, Father, to be that ambassador that does not give the enemy great occasion to blaspheme. Help people to speak well of you based on what they see of us. Help us to be humble, Father, in our service to you. Not so quick to bring attention to the things we do, Father, but just to give you glory for the chance to work for you. Help us, Father, to be good team members and cheer for those that are also achieving success for your kingdom. We're all kingdom builders, Father. And for everyone that lays brick and for everyone that mixes mortar, Father, let us all rejoice. Strengthen and keep us, Father. Strengthen us through the day, Father. Give us extra strength, Father, when we have to go through trials, Father. Strengthen our spirits when people say all manner of evil against us, Father. Help us to not be weary in well-doing and keep our eyes on the prize, Father, as we strive for higher heights and deeper depths with you every day. Father, our walk is a daily walk, Father. It's not about how fast we go, Father. It's not about how far we go, Father. It's just to endure to the end. Help us to strive strongly with each step we take, sure in our faith in you, Father, and sure in knowledge of the word, Father, that you would never leave us or forsake us. We need you, Father God. We need you for so many things, Father, but you know our hearts. You know our requests, even the ones we don't utter. You know our requests. And even for the ones that we would love to utter but can't, and even the ones that we do voice, Father, you know what we really need to pray for your Holy Spirit responds with groanings that cannot be uttered, Father, interceding for us, Father, changing the direction of our prayers to what should be prayed for. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that translation, that you know exactly what we need, when we need it. Strengthen us, Father, as we go before you later this day. Bless every voice on this call, Father, the ones that have spoken before me and the ones that will speak after me, Father. Let your glory come down upon us, Father, and bless us as we walk in your way. Strengthen us and keep us, Father. We'll praise your name. In Jesus' name I pray. So I pass the call along.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come before you basking in your glory, I just ask you for your mercy and your grace, Heavenly Father. Ask you to forgive me and all for all on the line for their transgressions, Heavenly Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for each and every person on the line, Heavenly Father, that they continue to be kind to one another, be patient, and be loving, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I continue to ask for marriages on the line. Continue to lift the marriages up in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Lift them up that we can say kind words to one another and be loving and intimate with one another, Father. Father, I ask you to continue to bless our families as we come and we go. Put the shield of protection around our children, Heavenly Father. As our children continue to embark on back in school, I just continue to ask you for mercy and grace and for confidence for our children, Heavenly Father, that they can stand bold and confident in your word, Heavenly Father. I ask you to bless the unsaved, Heavenly Father. Bless our co-workers and our neighbors, and God, bless our enemies. Dear Heavenly Father, as I come before you, I just continue to ask you for travel and grace to and from for those who will be on the road today. Protect us on our jobs, and don't just let us be mere people on our jobs just to work, but to be able to shed a guiding light through your word, Heavenly Father, as we're on these jobs. It's not merely a job, but it's a purpose that we're there for, Heavenly Father. And let us use that purpose to uplift one another and pray for people in the midst of it, Father. God, I just want to ask you once again to continue to lift up each and every one who put a prayer request before you this morning. Dear Father, thank you once again for just taking your time to listen to us and listen to our prayer request and anything else that we have to bring before you. In Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call. Amen.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I thank you for everyone who has come before me and for McDee who will follow me. Bless them all, Lord, for their commitment to serve and the sacrifices made this day. And everyone on this line today, keep, protect, and bless them and their families. Lord, I lift up the prayer focus on the movement of Declare Victory. We desire to be clear-minded, self-controlled, so that we can pray first, always, continually, and thankfully. May everyone recognize that this is your desire for all and not just a few. Use us to stand in the gap for others. Let this prayer ministry continue to be powerful and effective. We thank you, God. Lord and Father, we bless your holy name and give you praise, honor, and glory. Father, we seek you on behalf of our nation. We ask for your continued grace upon this land which you have ordained for your own purpose. Lord, raise up righteous, wise, and God-fearing people to govern us. We ask that you cause us to fulfill it. As we hear you, we believe you have ordained this nation to be a light, a refuge, and a champion of freedom and justice for all. In order to see this carried out, we recognize we are to call and welcome righteous and wise leadership who will govern with proper authority and direction from heaven. Where our government is out of alignment with your purposes, ways, and plans, we ask you to intervene and bring about alignment. We call on your name, asking you to come and adjust what is out of order. We call for your ways to be restored to us, open to us, and display through us a people. Break forth as you please, dear God. As you move into our midst and thrust out of those called to release your purposes on this nation, let eternal light shine from this place, that the good news of the gospel and salvation of every kind flow with us. We say, fulfill, Lord. Now we say, have your way. God of justice and mercy, thank you for the gift of life and the opportunity to serve the people of our city, our cities.
Help us to act with character and convictions. Help us to listen with understanding and goodwill. Help us to speak with charity and restraint. Give us a spirit of service. Remind us that we are stewards of your authority. Guide us to be the leaders your people need. Help us to see the humanity and dignity of those who disagree with us and to treat all persons, no matter how weak or poor, with the reverence of your creation, that your creation deserves. And Father, renew us with the strength of your presence and the joy of helping to build a community worthy of each person. We ask this as your sons and daughters, confident in your goodness and love. God of compassion, we pray for military personnel offered for the sake of others and separated from family and loved ones. Care for them, meet their needs. Grant them courage, compassion, strength, and all that they need for the living, of these days. Sustain them through every trial. Remind them of the humanity they share, even with those who are called the enemy, through Jesus Christ. Lord, I lift up my pastors, our pastors, to you. Thank you for their servant's heart. Keep them from losing heart when ministry gets tough. Help them prove faithful with the things you have entrusted to them. Teach them your way so that they know you find favor with you as they lead us. Keep them open and honest before us and before you, and help them to represent the truth plainly. We thank you for this day, for life, and one more day to love, for opportunity, and one more day to work for justice and peace, for neighbors, and one more person to love and by whom be loved, for your grace, and one more experience of your presence, for your promise to be with us, to be our God, and to give salvation. For these and all blessings, we give you thanks, eternal loving God, through Jesus Christ, we pray, as I pass the call to Ms. D.
Holy, holy, holy Lamb of God, we bow down before you this morning, Lord God, lifting up your presence before us. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit that rests, rules, and abides in our lives this morning. Thank you for the cross at Calvary where you shed your blood and died on our behalf. Father God, we thank you for planting us by the rivers of living water that we do not thirst after the ways of the world today. Father God, we thank you that many voices went up this morning that said they woke up with their mind stayed on you. Lord God, we thank you that your word tells us that the mind that is stayed on you shall be in perfect peace. We thank you for your peace, Lord God, that just keeps us, Lord God, with our heads held up. And you remind us to lift up our heads, O ye gates, that the King of glory may come in. And this morning we lift our voices to you, Lord God, inviting you, the presence of the Holy Spirit, into this call right now, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord God, that you love us so much that you meet us here this morning. Lord God, we thank you for inclining your ear to hear the cries of your servants this morning. Lord God, we that are called to intercessory prayer this morning for the world, Lord God, for our churches, for our families, for our neighbors and our communities, Lord God. We humbly bow ourselves before you, Father God. We confess that we fall short of your word, Lord God. We ask you to strengthen us up in those areas of weakness. Lord God, help us to keep our eyes stayed on you, Lord God, that we can find ourselves lost in you, Lord God, that our reflection and our characteristics will become more like yours. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this cross to bear this morning, Lord God, and we gratefully pick it up, Lord God, as we begin to cry out for those, Lord God, that we love and we care about, those that we are concerned about. We thank you for giving us the keys to the kingdom this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that what we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This morning, Lord God, hallelujah, we cry out to you, Lord God, to loose healing right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, for Taiwan, Tyree, and Stephen B. Lord God, we ask you to be in the medical rooms, Lord God, when the procedures go forth, whatever they are, Lord God. As we begin to cry out for them, Lord God, we see a miraculous medical procedure taking place, Lord God, that when they go in, they will come out better than they left going in. Lord God, that some of them will arrive at the medical facilities this morning and the procedures won't even have to take place, because you hear us, Lord God, crying out for them right now, and you're working those things out in their body
families right now. Lord God, we lift up Julia's cousin who is in the coma, Lord God, down in Castro Valley. Continue to minister to that family this morning, Lord God. I heard the name Tracy G. I'm not sure what the knee was, Lord God, but I know that you know, and I don't have to even be concerned. We're trying to figure it out, Lord God, because while we're trying to figure it out, you done already worked it out. So you touch her life in whatever way she needs. Lord God, we calling out for Mary and Dion this morning. Lord God, what you did then, you do today. Lord God, I thank you because yesterday's you brought us through. Lord God, you said you never see the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. Lord God, I thank you that your righteous stands in need. Lord God, and you have already began to manifest the new places they will be. Lord God, we thank you for the places they've been, but we also thank you for the places they're going. Lord God, we lift up the Anderson family in grief this morning. Lord God, that you will touch the heart, Lord God, of that family. Lord God, that you will wrap your arms around them through families, friends, neighbors, and their churches, Lord God. Just touch those children, Lord God, as they bury their mom, Lord God. I believe they said this mother was killed in a shooting incident, Lord God, and we just lift her soul up to you, Lord God, that she will find peace in the life after this life, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that her children won't grow with post-traumatic stress, Lord God, that people will not feed negativity into their lives, Lord God, where they will feel that they have to be vengeful for their mother. Lord God, we thank you for their lives this morning, their health and strength. Lord God, I heard Deborah Evans ask for prayer for her and her daughter Monica, Lord God. You know the matters, Lord God. I ask that you continue to walk and talk with her. Lord God, do the things in her, Lord God, that you need to do, Lord God. And as a mom, Lord God, she can pour into her daughter. I thank you for the mother-daughter relationships, Lord God, that are being strengthened today, Jesus, that these bounds are put together that will not be easily broken. I thank you for Ravonda's mentioning of her children this morning. Continue to bless her household, Lord God, as you increase her family. Lord God, we thank you for Gail in Chicago, Lord God, a faithful warrior. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to meet her needs this morning. Lord God, we thank you that you heard the cry the first time, Lord God. We pray for tolerance, and Lord God, we pray for swift movement on behalf of the insurance companies, Lord God, that the paperwork will be unraveled, the money will be sent to take care of the need. Father God, we thank you this morning, Lord God, and I cry out for my sons and daughters this morning, Lord God, those that I birthed and those that have just been put in my life, Lord God, that you will continue to walk and talk with each one of those young people. Lord God, we pray for our cities, Lord God, that we will bind up the hand of the strong enemy, Lord God, that has been causing havoc in communities. Lord God, we pray for economic systems, Lord God, that seem to have overlooked the people that are marginalized and oppressed. Lord God, we pray, Lord God, that as the cities change around us rapidly, Lord God, and that the things seem a little bit unbalanced, Lord God, we know that you are the creator, Lord God, of heaven and earth, and all things belong to you, Lord God. We thank you this morning, Jesus, for being the lover of our souls. We thank you, Lord God. We believe, Lord God, that every prayer that we bring to you, Lord God, that you are responding immediately, Lord God. It's okay. Sometimes we have to learn to wait on you, Lord God. And as we wait, Lord God, we don't sit and twiddle our thumbs, but we continue to work the work that you have placed before us on this day. We thank you, Lord God, for another first Tuesday in the month of September, Lord God, as this year is just rolling past us, Lord God, the things that we've experienced, the growth that you've put inside of us, the maturation level of us who have been diligent on this phone call for the last couple of years, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for the joining together of a body of Christ, Lord God, connected, Lord God, on one accord, doing the will of you, Lord God. And we ask that you continue to strengthen us up as we go out through this day. Father God, we thank you for your word that tells us that if we ask, it will be given, and if we seek, we shall find. And Lord God, we knock this morning. We thank you for opening the door. We thank you for inclining your ear to hear us. We thank you for giving us the words to speak, Lord God, in our limited vocabulary, Lord God, just to say thank you, Lord God. We ask that you drape us this morning with your blood. Cover us with your precious blood, Lord God. Hide us behind the cross. Thank you, Lord God, for the price that you paid. prayed that we would have a right to liberation, Lord God, to freedom in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord God, that we bow down with the angels, Lord God, that adore you, and we cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. We cry out, Lord God, as we lay our palms, Lord God, for you to walk into our hearts and take the throne of our hearts this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we do not cast you to the side, Lord God, but we lift up our brokenness to you this morning. Lord God, we thank you that a broken heart and a contrite spirit, Lord God, is something that you can work with this morning, Jesus. So we bring you ourselves, Lord God, just as we are. Thank you, Lord God, that you do not leave us as we come, Lord God, but day by day, Lord God, you transform us into a likeness of you. Lord God, we thank you for being able to lift our hands and our eyes to the hills and just praise you, Lord God, and give you adoration, Lord God. We love you so much, Jesus. We thank you for first loving us. We love you, Lord God, and we confess, Lord God, that we are nothing without you, Lord God, and we are so thankful and so honored and just privileged, Lord God, to be heirs, Lord God, to the kingdom, Jesus. That's huge, to be heirs to the kingdom. And Lord God, as we begin to take our phones off of mute and we set the tone for the rest of our day, we lift up holy hands to you, not asking for anything, but just to worship and adore you, Father God. What an honor it is to cry out, Lord. And a thanksgiving on our hearts, Lord God, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us the healing this morning, Jesus. Let us not be resident in our duplicate, Jesus. Bless your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for being a bridge over troubled waters this morning. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for blessing us, Lord God, to be able to cry out to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for being able to be honest with where we stand and with you this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for integrity and confidence this morning. Thank you for courage, Lord God, to walk the narrow path this morning, Jesus. Thank you for being all right with being different, Lord God. You yourself were a different breed, Jesus. You yourself were rejected and had nowhere to lay his head, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we can walk through life and not equate ourselves with the way the world sees us. Lord God, thank you for having an abundant life, Lord God. Thank you for our cups running over. Thank you for being in the presence of the Lord this morning, Jesus, where there is fullness, Lord God, where you reveal yourself to us, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Continue to show yourself here in our lives, Jesus, individually and collectively, Jesus. Let everything we touch be blessed, Lord God. Let peace reside around everywhere we walk this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Jesus, that follow us everywhere we go. Thank you, Lord God, that you go before us, and then you are right here with us, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for straightening out crooked paths, Lord God. Thank you for slaying giants on our behalf this morning, Jesus. Thank you for uprooting things inside of us, Lord God, that don't line up with the kingdom lifestyle this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to stay in the rearview mirror of our lives, Lord God, but we can look to the hills from which comes our help and strength, leaning and depending and trusting you, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for being a God that continues to astound us and work miracles, Lord God. Thank you for hearing the cry of a meager little girl down here in the city of Richmond this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for sitting high, looking low on our lives this morning, Jesus. Thank you for knowing us better than we know ourselves, Jesus. Thank you for having countless our days, Lord God, and you see us, Lord God, and that you rejoice when you hear our voices cry out to you. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God, almighty and all-powerful, all-knowing Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We bless your holy name this morning, Jesus, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sun. You are Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for being a strong tower. Thank you, Lord God, for hiding us under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord God, for being a beacon of the olive. Lord God, thank you for bringing forth the anointing oil in our lives this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. We glorify and magnify your holy name. There's none before you, Lord God. There will be none after you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross of Calvary this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for that thorny crown you took on your head this morning, Jesus. Thank you for every lash that you took, Jesus. Thank you for your blood that covers us this morning, Jesus. Thank you for keeping us from our own insane devices this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we lean not to our own understanding, but that we acknowledge you in all our ways. Thank you, Lord God, that if we seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, Lord God, that we will hear from your Father, and you're going to heal our land. Thank you, Lord God, that we can hold you to your promises. Thank you that we can speak back to you what you spoke to us. We thank you this morning, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the authority you've given us to pray this morning, Jesus. And we stand in that authority, Lord God. And we say that we are victorious, Lord God. Hallelujah. Many of us took communion on yesterday, and we did that in remembrance of you and what you did for us. Your brokenness, Lord God, and your blood that was shed, Jesus. We thank you that we shall not forget what you paid, that we can live this morning, and that we can come in authority, Lord God, and take back our lives, Lord God, and cover our children in your blood, Lord God, and all our needs, and we can cast them at your feet. And we lay these things at the foot of the throne this morning, Lord God, and we thank you for responding right now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, so some of us will live to see in this life the outcomes of these prayers, Lord God. Many of us are living on the prayers of those that have gone on before us, and we thank you for the heavenly host that are looking down on us right now, saying, hallelujah, my child made it over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, they got through. Hallelujah, they found Jesus for themselves. Lord, we thank you for the heavenly host that have gone on before us, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, to continue to just mediate and speak to us, Lord God. Help us to sing that new song that you've placed in our hearts this morning and to minister to ourselves, Lord God, throughout this day, to stay in your presence, to work, to stay in your presence, Lord God. We thank and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus, the living Christ, for the living word that continues to resurrect us every day. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Well, good morning once again, everyone. This is Resilient Rosanna greeting you in the name of the Lord. By chance, do we happen to have any new callers beside Miss Hazel this morning? If so, would you like to tell us your name so we can say good morning? Okay, well, then, do we happen to have anyone that would like to say good morning that joined us a little bit late this morning so we can say hello to you?
Good morning, it's Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, Pretty Patrice.
Good morning, this is Tiffany.
Good morning, Tiffany.
Good morning, it's Arlita.
Good morning, Arlita.
Good morning, it's Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle. Victory family, we're not going to say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Regina.
Good morning, Regina.
Good morning, Regina.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning,
Moni.
Morning, Moni.
Morning,
Moni. Good morning, Hazel.
Good morning. This is Valuable Valacita.
Good morning, Valacita.
Good morning, Valacita. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dolly.
Good morning, Dolly, did you say?
Ollie.
Ollie.
Good morning, Ollie.
Good morning.
Is there anyone else? Okay,
morning,
then at time. Hello?
It's Niecy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Niecy.
Okay, so then at this time, I'm going to turn the call back over to our declarant, Ms. Ravonda Williams. Everyone have a blessed morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How y'all doing?
Wonderful.
Well.
That was an awesome declaration, sister.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys, I had such a wonderful day yesterday. I had a moment when I was called into Hadassah's new room, and Destiny called me in, and they began to talk to me. And before I knew it, we all were in tears. And Destiny, she's not the mushy type, so even seeing her cry, she laughed through her tears. But you know what? I saw how blessed I was to have such wonderful kids. And I began to thank God for how different they were. Even though I was called in to discuss an issue, it was almost a distraction for the day. But we got some things straight. And what was so funny was, and I'm sure you all can attest to this, sometimes when someone is called in to address something, we have a tendency to look at their flaws before we consider what they're saying out of their mouth, and sometimes we'll miss it, you know, because we look at their flaws, you know, and we may feel that we can't receive what they're saying. The church is big for that, you know, and I'm not harping on the church either, but a lot of times what God wants to get to us might be in the mouth of someone who may have some obvious flaws, you know. And I just want to encourage you all this morning to embrace what makes you different. Embrace what makes you different. Have anyone ever had moments when you really struggled with just being just really different? You know, sometimes it's just a difference of opinion. You know, you might just go about something different. You're wired different from the people who are around you.
No, no, I'll talk because that declaration was, I believe, it was mine. I'm around lots of different people all the time, night and day people, and I love it. I love it. It's cultivating. It keeps you alive. It keeps you well. I used to get in trouble. My grandmother would ask me. I have a friend that's extra super duper uber hood, and nobody could ever understand why we were friends. But when I say love him beyond words, and no matter what it looks like, no matter where I am in my life, shall I say, I can always depend on him no matter what it looks like. And as good as he is, and he is a great, great friend. And then I have, you know, all my different assortment of friends, but it is such a life balance for me personally, and I'll shut up. I'll let my work talk.
Thank you for your share. Someone else?
You know, it's funny. I don't know if I ever shared with you all, but I've had a garbage man. I had two in my life. In the span of my career, while I've had this salon on McDonald Avenue, and one of them, I posted a picture one time on Facebook. He, now this is a garbage man that I didn't hire, but he worked for me. I ain't hire him. I don't know when he began to work for me, but he always called me Mama for some odd reason. But he was probably old enough to be my daddy. And he was always respectful always respectful, made sure that everything was okay. And I knew that, you know, he had an addiction. I don't know specifically what it was, but I remember one day he brought a chihuahua to the salon, and he had a handkerchief that was tied around his neck, a bandana, a red bandana. And he said, "Mama, you want to buy a dog?" And I said, "No, I don't want to buy a dog." He said, "Come on, Mama. Look, if you buy the dog with the bandana, it's $15. Without the bandana, it's $10. It made my day. And what was so awesome about it, all my clients fell in love with him, you know, and I began to open up and reach him in a way that probably most people couldn't, because I accepted him for who he was. I didn't require him to change. And he showed 3 days a week he'd come by the salon and get my trash, and I began to pay him the week before to come get my trash, and he would always show up to get it. And it was just, you know, it was such a wonderful relationship. When he died, a part of me died. I cried. Oh, my goodness. I almost had to go home from work. But you know what? Sometimes you have to open yourself up to be vulnerable, to welcome relationships that are not always easy, ones that you don't always understand, you know, and embrace people's differences. You know, something beautiful could come out of it. Not only that, it brings something good out of you. Come on, does anyone struggle with just being different? You know, sometimes you could be in a crowded room, you know, and you might feel like you're the only one there sometimes, you know, because you realize that you're different. It might be that you don't feel like you're on the level of the people who are in the room. It might be on your job. You know, it might be in your church.
Good morning, Ravonda. It's Patrice.
Good morning, Patrice. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for your awesome declaration.
Thank you.
It's not a struggle, but I just noticed that many times I'm different. And it's not a bad different. It's just different. And I think it's a good thing. The Word of God said we're supposed to be set apart. So I walk in it and I hold my head up high. And I keep it moving.
That's good. That's a good thing. You know, and what I mean by struggle, sometimes just finding your comfort, the place, finding comfort being in the skin that you're in.
Mm-hmm. Everyone goes outside to smoke. I'm the only one that don't go outside. And because I don't, it's like I miss the camaraderie that they have. And I've noticed that sometimes I feel like there's a difference, but I'm okay with not smoking. I don't want to smoke. And if that means I got to miss out on that conversation, then I'm just going to miss it because I don't have to fit in anyway. You know,
right.
If the conversation doesn't come inside, I won't hear it.
Right.
It'll be a different conversation. But that's just some of the stuff that I feel when I'm on my job. Even when I walk down the street, I feel different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just it's something that I've noticed of late.
Yeah. Thank you for your share, Patrice. I mentioned in my declaration that I had issues with acceptance, and I'm really being transparent. It's easier now for me to do that and to say it but walking around and doing some things, and doing some things quite well. Some things I didn't do well, you know, some things I don't do well. But I had some real issues with acceptance, and I realized as an adult where it came from. I played a classical instrument for a number of years, and I played basketball, which I loved. I loved playing basketball. As a matter of fact, that's how Hadassah got started in it, just playing, shooting around with her, and never really had the support of my grandparents, who adopted me at 12, and just didn't have their support, didn't have the push, you know, and I would sit back sometimes and really ponder and spend a lot of time wondering, God, who would I have been had they pushed a little harder? You know, who would I have been? And why have I made some choices, decisions? You know, I had to go back to just, you know, my childhood. And I realized that because of hands-off parenting, a lot of what I had to do, I learned to do on my own. It was survival, you know. And even with me being somewhat of an introvert, and most people wouldn't think so, but I am. I really am. I just have, like I said, those outgoing proclivities. You know, I really enjoy people, but I enjoy my alone time. I really do. And there's nothing wrong with it. But I've had moments when, you know, being accepted, you know, I'm better at, you know, fighting it now. But I've had some times, you all, when it was debilitating, where I did what I did to be accepted. Has anyone ever been there where you just did what you did to be accepted? I just want someone to accept me. And then if they accepted me, did I really know what it was to be accepted, to be affirmed? Have you ever had those times? Anyone else on the line struggle with just being accepted?
Yes, Wanda, this is Malia.
Mm-hmm.
That was my struggle. I mean, I've never, well, I'm getting better at it now because I've gotten older, but
mm-hmm.
off of my childhood, I always feel like a misfit.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, you know, periods where I would, you know, I'm like you. I'm really an introvert. But I have those periods where I would go out and have fun, and the next thing you know, I'd go back in the house and be in the house a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I never really, smoked weed, and I remember, and I didn't like it, and I remember drinking, and now that right there, I could have kind of maybe went on, I did go overboard, and I thank the Lord that, when I did go overboard, I kind of got I drank so much that I passed out. And one time after that, I didn't have a tolerance for the alcohol. But I remember because I felt different from everybody else when I did start drinking. I would drink and drink and drink, trying to drown out my voice, this voice in my head that was saying, this is wrong. I just, you know, but trying to be accepted, I would remember drinking to the point I'd be like sloppy drunk, you know, and still that voice was still there. But thank the Lord for children, because when I had my son, I decided I had an excuse not to drink anymore, because I didn't have the strength not to not drink or be social, because, you know, outside of that, I felt like I was kind of boring, and, you know, I really wasn't getting into what other people were getting into. So I totally, I loved your declaration, and I can totally relate to you. I felt like the same thing. I mean, I had a lot of, I played many instruments but never mastered any because I didn't have the push, you know. And I wonder sometimes, too, what if I had that push, if I had dreams of doing things, where would I be today? But I thank the Lord, though, because of where I was back then, that that I, you know, I didn't get that push, because no telling what my life would be like right now.
Amen. Thank you for that. You know, we are deeply flawed. You know, as my pastor was preaching on Sunday, I had to just sit there and take it all in, you know, and, you know, not be an emotional listener so I could get it, you know. And so most of us won't say that we have issues with acceptance, you know, because it's just not comfortable, you know. And a lot of times we look at the things that make us different, we look at them as being, you know, negative, and they're not. You know, I'm thankful, you know, for my nose. You know, I'm thankful. I remember a young man in junior high school. One day, he, you know how it is when you're 13 and 14, especially, you know, teenagers, 13 and 14, that's the impressionable time, you know, when people can say stuff to you and you just kind of wear it. And he told me my nose was big, you know. and he would joke me about my nose every day he possibly could. Well, afterwards I learned that he liked me, but the damage was done, you know. So I kind of grew up kind of looking at my nose as being, you know, too big, you know. Now I absolutely love my nose. You know, it's a part of me. It's in balance with my ears. If I ever got anything changed, I'd probably look crazy. You know, but it's the nose that God gave me. We oftentimes the things that make us different, we have a tendency not to embrace it. You know, I don't sing like everybody else. You know, I don't talk like everybody else. I don't walk like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing most of the time. someone tell me, how have you embraced your alone time? And you know that you're somewhat introverted, because being introverted a lot of times is frowned upon, and people want to tell you what to do to change. You know, I told you that I'm the one who is slow to make a decision, and I'm somewhat calculated when it comes down to what I do, and it's going to take me a while to change my mind, somewhat stubborn. But is there anyone who has embraced their alone time and you kind of suspect that you might be an introvert and someone may have told you that you need to change?
So, Vonda, I said I was going to be quiet, but I just want to go back to something you said just a moment ago. When I was a little girl, because of how I grew up, so I would get on an airplane, go to Colorado, Connecticut, New Jersey, whatever it was. And generally, because of my uncle's job, he lived in predominantly Caucasian areas. So it would be myself, my cousins, maybe about 6 or 7 African-American children. And everybody else, of course, would be either Caucasian or Asian. And so quite clearly, I didn't fit. Clearly. But after some time, of course, I would try to merge into the atmosphere because, you know, you spend so much time, you know, being rejected or whatnot. You kind of learn how to, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And so I would learn how to do that, and no sooner than I had found my space and my place there, it would be time to come right back to the ghetto. And then by the time I'd get back to the ghetto, I was what they would call whitewashed. So then I wouldn't fit in there. Then I'd be out of my element there. So now here I am stuck between two cultural standards and two, you know, where folks didn't do their homework in Richmond at Kennedy, and where all my friends in Connecticut or Jersey, you know, they were worrying about going to Ivy League schools. And as complicated and uncomfortable as it was, it totally cultivated who I have become. But quite naturally, as outgoing as I can be, you guys would be extremely surprised at how much time I spend by myself, preferably. And even in, you know, places where I go out that are unfamiliar, I am usually the one in the corner, out of the way.
watching people and not, you know, not necessarily trying to fit in. Now, if you call me out, I don't have a problem with saying something, but I like to spend time by myself in my little queendom, my room, and listen to my music and spend my time by myself. And so not only do I get it, but I embrace being, and some wouldn't call it this, but honestly, like, you almost have to pay me to go out. If I come to your house, I'm extremely comfortable with you, beyond words. It's almost like being at my own home. And people that know me know I don't frequently go outside. I spend the majority of my time in my house. So I get that. And it is a little quirky. You know, for those that don't know me, you have no clue that I will pull out a bottle of nail polish or start picking my fingernails, honey, if I'm uncomfortable. Go ahead, Vaughn.
Hey.
Good morning, Rebecca.
This is Valerie. I was talking, but I was on mute. So good morning, everyone. I love your declaration. but I did want to say this. I'm different. Pull up on the scene with my ceiling misses. I'm very different. I didn't understand it when I was younger, but as I get older, I embrace it, and I love who I am. I am also an introvert. It takes a whole lot to I have to really push myself to speak up, to speak out. But I love being by myself, and I have to remind myself, hey, you got a family. They might want to talk to you sometime. I will get in the room and be by myself in a minute. I can be on the couch, be by myself. I will zone them out. So I really have to push myself and include them. I have no problem being by myself, and I love it because I understand now, you know, that quiet time is, and I always say it, me getting to know myself but me getting to know God and understanding and appreciating who I am. My husband sometimes calls me an alien because he says I am different. And so I think about that, but we are different. God created us all different. We are all unique. We are all authentic. And once we understand that and embrace it, it's okay. And just walking it. And it's not easy, but it's just embracing it and just, you know, keep on pushing forward. It's all good.
And normally, you know what, most people who are introverted are not really animated. But when we are animated, it's normally kind of funny to people, you know. It's really, and you don't really know what we're thinking, you know, sometimes because our strength is our self-control, our being able to sit still and just kind of engage, because we're always looking and watching, and, you know, it looks to be kind of negative, but we size people up. It's not a negative. It's a part of our strength of who we are. If you are introverted, you know, we people watch. You know, we people watch, and we normally can tell you, you know, who's coming a mile away. Miss D, did I hear your voice, baby?
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for your declaration this morning. Thank you for sharing that snippet about your family and your engagement yesterday. It's a blessing to be with adult children, and I always thank my children for helping to create the adult I'm becoming. I used to call myself a loner. I am an introverted, extroverted person. And when you just talked about animation and acting out or behaving in a certain way, sometimes I do that when I go into crowded places to raise my level of comfort in those areas. Now, just flashed on when I came to the picnic, the first meet and greet we had, I went to in Vallejo at the rec center, and I danced my way in. That was so that I could be comfortable, because I become very self-aware in crowds, and that stuff used to hinder me when I was growing up. But once I found that there are others who were like me, it was easier for me to identify, because my grandmother was different. My mother was very different. So I came from a family of differences, and we all grew up in this household together, and it was kind of weird because, you know, you'd have some in the corner reading books, some over here on the on the floor shooting dice, and some in the, on the other side partying. You know, I grew up in a household like that, different things going on throughout my house. So finding my place as a young person was challenging because it was just things I just didn't take to. Like, I'm not a loud shouting person, so I didn't want to play dominoes with them because they scared me. You know, they made a lot of noise, but as I grew up, learning to embrace who I am and who I'm becoming is one of the greatest gifts God gave me, learning to love myself as I am, even with all my flaws that I don't wear on my sleeve and I don't pick them up as soon as something go down. It's because I got this issue. It's because I'm like that. It's because I'm this. No. I don't use those things to hold me. And at one time in my life, they did. And I hear some of the children I work with today, and when I got injured on my job, that, you know, the kids were like, I got anger issues. We got so many different labels we wear. When we learn to live without the labels, for me, I became a better individual. So I just embrace who I am today. I love who I am today with all my flaws. My flaws make me great because God works in them flawed areas of my life because they're still tattered. And thank God for the tattered flaws, or else I would think I was okay. You know, so to God be the glory. I've just decided at this portion of my life that, because I spent a lot of years trying to figure that out, work that out, live that out, be okay. Today I'm okay. Sometimes, thank God I got to that place. Today I am really okay with who I am. I am grateful for my yesterdays, all the stuff that went on in my family line. I'm grateful for the people that God placed in my life because of all that bumping and grinding and pushing and shoving and yelling and screaming and all the different things that were going on around me, I became a stronger individual. And again, thank you for sharing about your family. I was with my middle child yesterday, and she was saying some things that she didn't know, you know, and I was able to just give her some analogies and to be able to share Christ with a young person from where we are and being honest about it is a great feeling to see our young people come back home and want to sit up under us and listen. So have a blessed day, everybody. I love you guys.
Ms. D, they remind us, you know, sometimes when we just think that we've done, you know, just that we haven't done a good enough job, because a lot of times their life decisions, we feel like we just had a hand in it, and that's not necessarily so. You know, realizing yesterday, it was really funny how well of a job that I had did with Destiny, because she began to recall some things to Hadassah about her mom, you know, about me. And she began to talk to Hadassah about me and what it is that she can do and what she can't do and what she has to be mindful of. And I was so tickled and yet overjoyed, you know, because in spite of what Destiny chooses to do in her own personal life, the blessing is that she hears me. She hears me, and the things that I've done to impact her life, she has embraced some good stuff, you know. And I was like, God, I got to let myself off the hook, you know, here. Thank you, Jesus, you know, because sometimes we look at each one another's flaws and we deduce people, you know, because of their flaws, and we have to stop doing that, because some of our greatest nuggets will come from folks who are deeply flawed, which we all are. But one of the things I also had to do was I had to make sure that I did not spend time trying to blame my grandparents. And the Lord had me to look at my life a little differently. When you are introverted, this is one of the things that you have a tendency to do, is not to pull outside of who you are. You don't need a whole lot of outside stimulation. And it's a trip. It's not a bad thing. Normally, we're pretty self-motivating. Once we get going, we're going. Once we make up in our mind that we're going to do something, we're going to do it. We're going to actually do it. It may take us some time to ponder it, because it's a certain amount of risk that's involved. And like Ms. D was saying, you know, really pushing yourself when you're in a room with a crowd, what you have to do to be present, to find a place where you're comfortable, because we have a tendency to like being alone.
We find comfort in being alone. That's a part of our strength. And even as a child, it was my strength. My grandmother talked to me all the time about not saying that. I would be in a room and not say nothing, anything. I know y'all don't believe that. But I'm a situational talker. I do it all the time at the salon. Once everybody leaves, I enjoy the silence. There is an eerie silence in the salon when everyone leaves, and it's like I have to embrace it for a moment. I turn off the TV and all of those things. But I had to be very careful not to really trip off my grandparents and them not coming to my game and not this and not that, because guess what? God, not only did he make me, not only did he make you, he knew what problems you needed to have for you to become who you are today. He knew what issues you needed to have to be who you have become today. So I don't really travel in packs. When, if I go out to dinner, I can go out to dinner by myself. Has anyone embraced their strength, the strength in knowing that, you know what, I can go there by myself. You know, I don't have to have a lot of people with me. Taking a vacation by yourself.
When I changed, Misty again, when I changed my wording from my issues to this is who I am, things mm-hmm. became easier. When I had an issue, that means I was something I was challenged and had to address. When I began to embrace my so-called differences, they became a part of who I am. So doing things like traveling alone or being by myself to watch movies and laughing out loud, you know, being in the house by yourself and you cracking up, you know, it's like, once I got past, started changing my language, and that's something we talk about on this call, change your language. The issue isn't a challenge or something that is a hindrance, but it's part of who I am. So it's okay. And when I changed my language about those things, I became okay with the way I am. I go by myself. And when I don't want to go, I don't go. And sometimes I invite other people, which is different because that's stepping outside of my little comfort zone, learning how to be social because I live in a world that calls for some social activity, like you said about work. You know, you can socialize there and talk, but then as soon as it's time for the shift, we shift back, I shift back into my comfort area. That's what walking with me. So, again, thank you for that share. It brings up a lot to look at. So my grandma was like you said, your grandma, my grandmother was my primary caregiver, and because of her and the way she lived her life, she was a very introverted person, but she had a very strong traits, very strong characteristics, and was a lover of Christ. And those were the things she disseminated to me growing up.
Yeah, my grandmother was too. As a matter of fact, one reason why I enjoy cooking was because I sat up and watched her cook a whole lot. I just sit at the table and watch her, you know. And she didn't do a lot of going out. You know, when she went out on the weekends to have her drink, or, you know, we probably wouldn't see her till about Monday or Tuesday, you know. But she, for the most part, was in the house and, you know, making sure that everything was okay for us. So I learned a whole lot from her. A lot of what I do, you know, I find myself in both of my grandmothers, a lot of me in both of them. And, yes, being introverted, you do find how to be sociable, because we do have to be sociable. And even if some of you might be raising introverted children, where we try to push them to do, you know, stuff where that's not really how they're bred, that's not their they're not wired that way, where they have to have a whole lot of outward stimulation, you know. And so we have to be very careful when we're raising children who have a tendency to enjoy being in their room or whatever. And sometimes you have to be a little intrusive to check out, because, you know, because they could be a little mischievous too. You know, I was, as a child, you know, a teenager growing up, I had my little stuff I did, and my grandmother interrupted me a lot. So sometimes you have to, you know, you have within the children who are introverts, you have to recognize them, you know, and you have to be very careful not to impose on them. But the Lord lets us know that we're to train up a child in the way that they should go. So we have to find out what makes them tick, you know, because they're not going to be very verbal. As a child, I wasn't very verbal, but I did a lot of listening, a lot of watching, you know. And normally they have a heightened sense of intelligence. And it's not so much about the ABCs and the 1, 2, 3s, but they just get it. Only because they observe, and they really fire off of different pistons than most kids who are extroverts. You know, they're like I said, very calculated. You know, and that's what we are as adults. We grow up, and it's that same thing, that same strength. And if you're not careful, sometimes people recognize it as you be acting funny, you know. But I really don't like to be around people who are very loud all the time. You know, I can sometimes. It's got to be situational again. But when you recognize introverted children, you know, you really have to ask God to allow you, especially if you're the extrovert parent, the one who is loud. You know, and you have other children who are extroverts, and this one sticks out. You have to really ask God to show you how to raise them and how to minister to them and how to talk to them and to get to know their language. Because as a child, mine was basically, it looked as if it was a fault. And so I grow up with all these acceptance issues, abandonment issues, and, you know, don't leave me, and, you know, all of these things and not being able to say what it is that I mean, you know, because, you know, for so long it just seemed like I couldn't do anything right, you know. But now I have, like you said, Missy, it's not an issue anymore. I'm very comfortable being the woman that I am. But, you know, is there anyone on the line who have had to really work at just accepting your flaws, being the thing that has made you such a wonderful person? And when I say deeply flawed, I don't just necessarily mean the things that you feel are wrong with. I'm talking about the things that you feel are wrong with you, and they're actually right. You know, it's the thing that have made you you, and why someone loves you so much.
Ms. Ravonda?
Yes.
This is Barbara. I've been sitting here listening to you guys. I'm on my way to work. Mm-hmm. I'm not an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been sitting here listening to you guys because I admire all of the conversation I've heard, because I had to learn how to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was always busy because I didn't want to be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy. It was difficult. But mm-hmm. I thank God, you know, I love being alone now. I like being by myself, and I can't believe I'm even saying that. Because I just mm-hmm. I've kind of shared a little bit of my life, and I've been married a couple of times, and it's just, I didn't like being by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like now, I take time to be by myself because I want to be by myself, but I also had to learn that I need to be by myself sometimes because God can't talk to me when I'm doing all these things and I'm with everybody and I need by myself mm-hmm. time.
Mm-hmm.
So I love myself now. I mm-hmm. couldn't say that
mm-hmm.
maybe 10 years ago. Thank you for your declaration.
Thank you.
It's so funny. I've been on the line over a year now, and I listen to everyone, and I'm an older person, and so I've already raised my kids. But I really want to encourage you, those of you that are raising your children now, thank God for this line. Thank God for people telling you things and talking to you, because I didn't have that when I was raising my kids. I just did the best mm-hmm. I could. Just like my mom, she did the best she could. But this is a asset to have someone to help you in trying to better raise your children. Because mm-hmm. we need to learn how to, you know, I mean, don't get kids with a direction book. But that's why it's so important for us to stay in the Word and with God and talk to God about everything we want to do and everything we need to do. Children, praying for our children and our families. That is so important. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking now because I didn't have all this encouragement when I was raising my kids. So both of you that are young and raising your children, it is a blessing. It's a blessing to have someone to help you because it's not an easy job. Mm-hmm. You know, raising children is hard. And then once they get grown and you got to listen to some of the stuff they say about what you did when you were raising them, that ain't easy.
No.
But you have to hear it because mm-hmm. you have to appreciate it. Now, the nice thing is I have grandchildren. So this is helping me with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's helping me to do different things with them than I did with my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thank you for the declaration. I really do. And, you know, I always say this is a lifeline for me, and it really is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Barbara. I can't say it any louder, you know, just in raising your children, those of you who have kids on the line, you know, all of them are different. You know, all of our children are different. And, you know, you might be raising two extroverts and one introvert, or two introverts and one extrovert. But whenever we've heard someone say someone was introverted, and I don't even know how I even got on this, but, you know, it has always been kind of a negative connotation. You know, and I saw my picture, you know, when someone said what an introvert is. And I'm like, that's me, you know. And it's not just about being different, but it's about being who God wants us to be and the challenges that we must have to work at the greatest capacity that we can, wherein God can get the glory out of our lives. You know, and he always sets us up to be blessed, always sets us up. And I look at, like I said, Isaiah. He never had no lessons. No, he never had no music lessons or anything like that. And, just how he operates is hilarious. You know, and people would ask me, well, when did Isaiah start doing this? I don't know. I don't have a clue. You know, but I allow my kids to be who they are. You know, because I realized today that they belong to God. They belong to God, and I pray their strength in the Lord often. But I'm thankful for their personalities. I think I'm thankful for the things that are so different about them and how they are flawed. And we have to find a space to be grateful. You know, and to celebrate who we are, the stuff that made us who we are today. Because in order for us to be meet for the kingdom, for us to be great and to enlarge the territory, the kingdom of Christ, we have to come alongside of people who don't look like us, don't talk like us, don't act like us, you know, all of that stuff. And we have to be open for God to use us any way he wants to. It's not about fitting in. It's not about uniformity, but it's about the unity. It's about uniting, standing beside someone and taking their hand, you know, and leading them, you know, into being the best person that they possibly can. And that's what we do. That's what we do here on this Victory Line. It's so many sounds. It's hilarious. I haven't had a chance to really address you all in a while because I've been really busy. God's been doing some good stuff. You're going to hear later on during the year. God has just really blessed my life, you know. And one day I'll be able to really just share with you some other things that God is going to do. And I'm believing God for you, your life, that you're going to embrace your different. You're going to embrace your flaws, and you're going to see why God had to allow some things to happen to you. Because just like that olive had to be pressed, the value is when it's crushed and pressed. That's what God does in our lives. He crushes and he presses us so we can get the preciousness out of our lives, so we can we can heal other people. We can lead other people. He can trust us with some stuff, wealth, and he can trust us with some homes, and he can trust us with children and all of those things. But he allowed us to go through some things so we could become the people that we are become, have become and are becoming, as Ms. D said today, the adults that we are.
Hey, Ravonda, I just want to remind everyone, you know, as deeply flawed as each and every one of us are, the beautiful thing is that our flaws are the very things that God used.
Yes.
Uses them to bring out the greatness in others. He uses those flaws as the vulnerability that keeps us humble. He uses those flaws as the thing that keeps us mindful that we are imperfect also. And so we have to be super duper careful how we put our mouths on the people of God. We have to be really, really careful and cautious with what we say about someone else's struggle, because just like they show up and you see their stuff, you show up and we see yours. It is so beautiful to know that our flaws can be so useful.
That's what qualifies us.
It's that thing. I can imagine Paul and how that he had persecuted the Christians and how that was his reputation and how everyone knew him amongst the city as the one who always had something awful to say about the great God that we serve. And the fact that even his flock gave him room to be sought out by the king so that God could reveal his greatness, and how even a flawed man, a terribly flawed man, could be used by God. I can see David as he was considered the man after God's own heart, like Pastor said this Sunday, and how he had a reputation for being the one who caused Abigail's husband to be murdered to suffice his own desires. You know, there are so many things, but still, yet and still, he was still called a man after God's own heart. And so you said earlier, folks talked about him. That's how everybody knew who he was. But even the things that they talked about, God used at a later date to show that if I could do it for him, I could do it for you. If I could do it for Paul, I could do it for you. So I thank God for the things that provoke people to sit at the round table and discuss me, because it keeps me relevant to God. It also keeps us on our knees. It keeps us on our face. It keeps us before the throne of grace so that God can give us the compassion toward other people. So right. I just wanted to share that.
And you know what? We have to be careful, too, even when we know that we may be discussed. And like I said, if you're not being talked about, you ain't doing nothing. that ain't no deep saying. That's the truth. If you're not doing anything, no one's talking about you. You know, we have to be careful that we don't wear, don't wear your feelings so close. You know, wear your feelings a little loosely, you know, just because someone is saying something about you, you know, that's okay. But don't let it. Ask your brother. Okay. But, you know, don't let it paralyze you to the point where you can't do anything. You know, because some people won't make a step because you're afraid of what people might say about you. You know, I made plenty of mistakes. But I also have had some really good victories because I took a chance on just trusting God and his word concerning my life. And that's
hey,
what we have.
Ravonda, this is Marcus. I just wanted to chime in a little bit. I love what you're saying, and I love the declaration so much. just with what you're saying right now, I used to be one of the ones that would trip out so much and try to chase down every rumor and, you know, they say this, they say that, and why are you saying that, and why is that so, you know, why are you doing that so much? But now I realize that people are actually giving me free advertisement, and I thank God for it now, you know. And it, sometimes it still hurts, and but, you know, because I know what they're saying is not true or is fabricated or it's exaggerated. But like I say, they're giving me free advertisement, and they're helping me get my name out there even more, whether it's negative or positive. And here's one thing we need to realize as well. Society does that all the time, like with entertainment. They do that all the time. Sometimes rumors are expelled just to get a celebrity's name out there because they haven't had much publicity in a while. So they'll dispel a rumor on purpose to get people to start talking and writing and putting TV interviews up, and then before you know it, their next album is coming out, and then all of a sudden they're exploding, and people think that it's just because they have good music. A lot of it has to do with the fact that they've had all this talk about whatever they dispelled out there, and now they're exploding. So take the free advertisement, everybody. Love you.
Yes, free advertisement is absolutely wonderful. You know, it gets us where we need to go, and if we know what to do with it, you know, because you don't have to, you really don't have to prove who you are. That's the Holy Spirit's work in us, to really get us in, to whip us into shape and to be all that we can and to keep it moving. Because can you imagine Jesus, when the Pharisees saw that he was healing on the Sabbath, you know they had to be following him and talking. And then they called him a devil. You know, they talked about him, but we don't see where he stopped doing what he had to do. He didn't answer his critics because he knew that they didn't want to answer. He knew the Pharisees didn't want to answer. They didn't want to answer. But hello. Does someone want to
go
say
ahead,
something?
Amanda. You good?
Oh, but he knew that they didn't want to answer. So he didn't spend time, you know, tripping off of what people had to say, you know, and we have to learn really how to, you know, to keep it moving, you know, and not to wear our feelings so so closely, you know, and so to serve Christ is to be vulnerable, it's to be who you are, it's to allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in you, the very thing. That God has put on the inside of us, He's going to go after. So our trials and everything, they're custom made. Who we are in our character has a whole lot to do with what we've been through and what will be needed for God to use us in the kingdom. Not only that, embrace your flaws. Embrace the thing that makes you different about somebody else and enjoy the path that Christ is taking you on today. It's been wonderful talking to you all this morning. I'm going to get ready for work, purpose, as Tan could say. And it has been just a joy just sharing with you all some of my life this morning, and I look forward to talking with you all again. So as we go, hopefully that you'll grow into the stature of the men and women that God has called you to be, and that every day you'll embrace who you are, and that you'll continue to do the work that it takes for you to be all that you can for the kingdom of God. And love you guys, and have a wonderful day.
Can I just say thank you? I really, really enjoyed your declaration this morning. I am waiting for the book so I can read it over and over and over. You were speaking to my spirit this morning, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Love you guys. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
You too.
You too. Blessing.
Marriage Matters at 6 o'clock. Marriage Matters.
No, TNT, not Marriage Matters. It's Tuesday. It's not Monday.